We're thankful that we can gather again in God's house, and we welcome you if you weren't here this morning. We had a great walk and travel through the Old Testament and the minor prophet Habakkuk, and we were challenged and encouraged to read that and to read them, read the minor prophets, and read the entire scripture in its entirety. And so we were challenged that way, and I trust that we'll take it as loving encouragement. That's the way I'm going to take it. Let's read in the Old Testament here. The book of Psalms is open, and there's about seven or eight on this page. So let's read from Psalm 130. Psalm 130. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they watch for the morning. I say more than they watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Eight verses, a short psalm, but there are some wonderful and amazing truths and principles there, and some words that the psalmist uses that we need to take heed to. And as we look at those words, then let's internalize them, and let's see how am I applying them. And I think of a few of these, and cry is one. And we had that this morning, didn't we? We had Habakkuk who was crying to the Lord, and he asked how long. And God doesn't always tell us how long we're supposed to cry. He just wants us to keep crying. He wants us to keep coming to him. He wants us to be dependent upon him. And then in his time, he answers the prayer. He answers what we need. He gives us what we need. So cry, that's one. And then hear, the word hear. Do you really believe that God hears what you cry, what you pray? Sometimes maybe in the busyness of the world and society, all the things that we have around us, and then we have this great God that we're linked to and attached to, and we pray to and we cry to, and we can't see him, but we know he's there. But do we really believe that he's hearing me and you? Of all the other things going on in the world, 7 billion plus people, he hears you and he hears me. He hears us. That's awesome. Forgiveness. Who doesn't need that? Who doesn't need that every day? And the Bible tells us that his mercies are new every day. There is forgiveness, he says, with God. That's where we go. Just awesome words here. And then wait. How do we do with that one? How are we with waiting? Another word that comes to mind is patience. Patience and waiting kind of go together. And we get pretty impatient when we have to wait, don't we? We don't want to stand in line. We don't want to wait for the next when we're on the phone and they say, I'll be right back with you, and then we wait and we wait and we wait. We don't like that. We like our time. We think then we get offended. We think somebody's stealing our time. We just get all worked up, don't we? We don't like to wait. But yet the scripture is full of verses that encourage us to wait. Why is that? Why does God tell us that we need to wait? Because He knows we're impatient. He knows we don't want to wait for anything. He knows we get upset and nervous and even with each other if you make me wait. But He tells us to wait. And the other thing here we need to remember is our time is not God's time. And when He asks us to wait, that's not just waiting in line for the next available person. He's asking us to wait for Him to solve and to interact and to take care of our problems. That's what He's saying. Will you wait, or will you just go ahead and try to fix it yourself? And I know that's what I do. I'm kind of a fix-it guy. I like to have things fixed. I like them working the way they're supposed to. And I don't like to wait to have them fixed. If it's broken, we're fixing it now. And guys, that's kind of the way we are. We're wired that way. But yet God says, no, you need to wait on me. Because you know what? You might not have the right fix. So we're encouraged. And then hope. And that kind of goes along with waiting. Because if we're going to hope for something, we have to wait for it. If we're hoping, it's not here yet. And we're hoping for this eternal, beautiful home that Jesus is preparing for us right now. We're hoping to be able to go there and be there, and we trust that we will. But we have to wait. Now maybe there's days that come and you think, you know what? Sure wish the Lord had come today. Maybe you have days like that. Because we get weary and we get tired and we don't wait so well and we are impatient. And Satan gets the middle of all of these words we just talked about are all part of our relationship with Christ. They are all critical to our relationship with Christ. And maybe some of them we do better than others. Maybe some of you are really patient people. Praise God for that. And maybe some of you are very forgiving people. Maybe some of you are prayer warriors, and you, that's what you do. That's what God has given you as a gift. And you pray and you cry on behalf of yourself and others. Maybe that's what you do. Then do it with joy. And know that God's given you that gift. And use it for His glory. Pick any psalm. Go through it and just grab a few words. And see how they tie in to how we're living. And that's all God wants us to do. He wants us to keep growing, drawing closer to Him, be more dependent on Him and less dependent on us. And He does that by prompting us through His Word, and then let the Spirit work within us. Let's sing a hymn together here. 118 is open. God's glory magnified by His works. Let's sing that together. Let's join together and pray. Our Father in heaven, we are thankful again that we can gather together here around thy word. We're thankful, Father, that thou hast put within us a desire to learn more of thee, to draw close to thee, to be more dependent upon thee. We're thankful, Father, for thy word that thou has preserved for us over all these many, many years, that it was put together and assembled, and all of these writings and recordings were preserved for our benefit. And so, Father, we thank thee for that. And even as we were encouraged this morning to read it in its entirety, that we would take heed to that. It's important. It's good for us. It is, in fact, thy word. It is what we have here on this earth that ties us to thee, that lets us know and gives us even proof that thou art our God, the one living and true God, the one that has created everything around us, including us, even as we sang in thine own image. So, Father, we pray that thou would continue to encourage us and draw us to thee. Father, help us in our daily walk, that we would display thy love and thy light, that the way we talk and behave and interact and deal with people and react to situations, that all those things would be encompassed in our Christian walk. Father, we know there's areas we need work. We need help. And so we cry unto thee. We plead with thee to teach us and to free us from the world and allow us to be shaped and molded and perhaps even trimmed to thy liking, so that we can be who you want us to be. Father, we thank thee for this place that we can gather here in Indianapolis. We ask a prayer upon them and those that attend here to be strong in their hearts and in their minds, that the Spirit would be alive here in a mighty way, encouraging and challenging and helping to grow and convicting, whatever we need to have a closer walk with thee. Father, we lift up the ministers here, those that teach Sunday school, the children that are back there listening. Oh, Father, be with each one. And we know that there's a purpose behind every one of our lives that you've designed. Help us to use it for thy glory and to further thy kingdom, and to reach out to those who need a Savior. Father, we thank thee for all that thou hast done. We know that there are struggles in this life. We all have struggles, but specifically, we know that there are those who've recently had surgery, and we lift them up to thee. We pray for healing. We pray for recovery. And Father, those that maybe have just recently been diagnosed, those are tough times. And we don't often know what to say or how to help, but we just pray that they'll reach out to thee and that you'll comfort them. You'll be by their side, and that they'll know that they're never alone. Father, we thank thee for the promises that are in the word, that you'll be with us even unto the very end of the age, that you'll never leave us or forsake us. And we take those to heart, and we pray, Father, that as we live our lives, we would live them with the hope and the forgiveness and the patience that you want us to have. So bless us now and encourage us. Give us a New Testament scripture that we could read from. Teach us from that. Open our hearts and our minds. Help us to apply the word in our daily walk. Father, we thank thee We ask for forgiveness where we sin, where we fail Thee. We need Thy mercy and Thy grace every day. So grant that to us, Father, we pray, and we ask it all now in the name of Jesus, our risen Lord and Savior. Amen. Thank you, brother. Scripture's open here in St. Matthew. There's several chapters here open. Let's read here a little bit from chapter 12. This is chapter 12, and maybe we'll begin at verse 28. I'm in St. Mark. Sorry about that. St. Mark, chapter 12, and verse 28. My apologies. The heading here says the first of all commandments. So let's read here verse 28. And one of the scribes came, and having heard and reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. And this is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There's none other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said unto him, Well, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but He. And to love Him with all the heart, with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love His neighbor as Himself is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And no man after that durst ask him any questions. And Jesus answered and said, while he taught in the temple, How say the scribes that Christ is the son of David? For David himself said by the Holy Ghost, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand, till I make thine enemies thy footstool. David therefore himself calleth him Lord, and whence is he then his son? And the common people heard him gladly. And he said unto them in his doctrine, Beware of the scribes, which love to go in long clothing, and love salutations in the marketplaces, and the chief seats in the synagogues, and the uppermost rooms at feasts, which devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers, these shall receive greater damnation. And Jesus sat over against the treasury, and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in 2 mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, and saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. We've read there to the end of the chapter. Again, some just amazing truths. And in this case, these are written in red in this Bible, maybe in yours too. But the words of Jesus is what that designates, and we know that. So when we read those that are recorded as the words of Jesus, it seems to take it up a notch for me, and I think he's encouraging us to pay attention, to listen, to read, to understand what is it that Jesus is really saying to us. How does it apply in the time that we live? You know, 2,000 years ago, even as we heard this morning, life was a lot different. The environment was different. The challenges were different. Maybe in some cases they were much worse than what we have today. But in some cases, maybe they were much better. But the fact is that we're living right now. And we're in the battle together. And the environments that we're living in. You know, I thought of Josiah this morning. 8 years old. And then it told us what he did at 16. And then again at 20. And then again at 26. And he, in the environment that he was living in, really took a stand. And he took a stand in the society that he was in that was totally against the way society was going. And it was important to him because he was following God. And if you look at his history, his father, Ammon, was bad. He did that which was evil, the Bible says. Go back another generation, his grandfather, Manasseh, one of the worst kings of all. And yet here's Josiah, somehow God called him, and he stood fast. He took a stand. I think about Josiah. I think about Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Those are folks that took a stand in the society that they were in that went against society but lined up with God. And it's important for us. Those are lessons for us today because we have a society, as we heard this morning, they call what's right wrong and what's wrong right and what's black white and white and black, and everything's all mixed up and everything's all jumbled. And there's no compass, there's no due north because they've thrown this Bible out. And that's what gives us true north. And as Jesus is teaching these scribes and Pharisees here, he's giving them a basic understanding, a basic foundation. Of how are we going to survive in this society that we live in? How are they going to survive in that society? Not just survive, but thrive. And maybe that's going against society. And so we can't always say, well, society's doing this, that must be the way we should go. We have to take a stand. We have to know the Scripture. And Brother Ron encourages, if we read it from front to back, we're going to get that. We're going to get the points. We're going to get the treasures that are there. What does Jesus say here? The scribes, it says, one of the scribes came and he heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And so Jesus responds to him, and you know, this comes out of Deuteronomy, this verse is the foundation of our Christian walk. And it talks about love, but it also talks about God that links the two together. And it challenges us on how do we love God? How are we doing with that? What does it say here? The Lord our God is one Lord, so we have to separate that out already. And we have to say, okay, God, you are my God. You're the only one. I don't want any other gods. And I'm not talking about superficial gods. I'm talking about the gods that we can get a hold of in our life. It may be somebody. It may be something. It may be our work. It may be our school. And that can become an idol or a god to us. And Jesus is saying there's just one Lord, one. And we have to get rid of all the other things, or at least get the priorities right. Not that the things that we deal with every day aren't important. They are very important, but they never rise to the level of being as important as God. So then Jesus says that thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. And this is just being requoted from Deuteronomy, I think, maybe chapter 4, somewhere back in there. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. And then he lists how we're to do that. And all the different ways within us. With our heart, with our soul, with our mind, and with all our strength. That pretty well encompasses all of us. And all about us, doesn't it? Our heart and our soul, and our mind and our strength. And as you think through that, he's talking about, you know, we're made up of, we're a physical being, we're emotional beings, we're spiritual beings, and Jesus is talking about all of those aspects of our life. How we think, our mind, all the things that we're thinking through and trying to fix or repair or interact, all of those things, we're supposed to love God with all of our mind and not let it get too confused with everything else. All of our strength, our physical strength. How do we do that? And we need to keep our bodies up and healthy. That's an important thing to do. But we're to love God with all the strength we have. You know, we put a lot of effort and energy into a lot of things. A lot of us are work. Maybe it's entertainment. Maybe there's a lot of things that we put a lot of energy into and effort. And Jesus is saying, take that energy and effort and love God with it. Love God with that strong a desire, with that much effort. How about our soul, our whole spiritual side? And that's an important piece of our makeup, is our spiritual makeup. And Jesus is saying we need to love God with all of our soul. Everything that we have, our mind, our heart, our soul, and our strength. And that's the first commandment. And he says, and he doesn't stop there. You know, the question was, In verse 28, the question was, what's the first commandment? So Jesus says, here's the first commandment. And he doesn't stop. He says, and then the second one. So we can't. So again, we have to take the scripture in its entirety. We could stop right there and say, well, I think I'm doing that. I think I'm really trying to love God with everything I have. But then what does he say? He says, the second is this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There's none other commandment greater than these. So how do we love each other? How are we doing with that? And we may say, well, we love them as we love ourselves. Well, how do we love ourselves? Typically, we want the best. We're going to make sure that we're taken care of, that we, you know, that we have the nice things. Are we going to love our neighbor that way? Is that what we're going to do? Are we going to reach out, step across, get out of the comfort zone, and we're going to love our neighbor regardless? It doesn't give any exclusions here or excuses or only if, does it? And the Bible's pretty clear about a lot of those things. There's often no exceptions, because there's no exceptions with Jesus. He loves us all. He doesn't pick and choose. He doesn't say, well, the third row there, I don't know about the third row. No, he loves us all. He doesn't pick and choose. He knows where we're at and where we're coming from. He knows the struggles we have. And so he's encouraging us to love our neighbor as we would love ourselves. And the scribe said unto him, Well, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, with all the strength, and to love his neighbors himself, is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And that's a true statement. It is true. What does Jesus want from us? He doesn't necessarily want our sacrifices. He wants our love and our obedience. We can read that back in the Old Testament. What does God love more? What does he want more? Obedience or sacrifices? And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. So where are we at today? Where are you at? Where am I at? How do we evaluate ourselves? How do we evaluate how we're doing on these two commandments? You know, you could just take out a whole bunch of pages here and leave those two commandments, and that covers a lot. That covers all of our interaction with each other. It covers how we deal with family. It covers what our relationship is like with God. It covers our church relationships. It covers our work relationships. Because who's our neighbor? I think that question was even asked to Jesus. Who is my neighbor? And then Jesus went into a whole nother story about the Good Samaritan. Who's your neighbor? The one sitting next to you? The one that lives next to you? Your neighbor could be somebody you meet for the first time. Your neighbor could be your wife or your husband. Your neighbor could be your children. Do we love them as we love ourselves? What are we willing to do to draw close to Jesus? He encouraged us there then in a couple of verses to verse 38, Beware of the scribes which love to go in long clothing, love salutations in the marketplace, the chief seats in the synagogues, uppermost rooms at feasts. You know, Jesus wants us to be authentic Christians. Authentic. He wants us to not have agendas. He wants us to follow him, to love him. He wants us to display that to others. And if we can easily get stuck in some of these areas, and he's encouraging us not to, that we think we're a little better than somebody else because I do this, or because I believe this, or I think this, or I have done this, or I'm going to do this, that puts me on a different plane. That's not what Jesus is saying. He says, these shall receive greater damnation. And then he gave a little story. He didn't make the story up. He watched what was taking place, and he shared that with his disciples because it was a teaching moment. And we need to take advantage of the teaching moments that the Scripture has for us. You parents, take advantage of every teaching moment you have with your kids. Don't miss a one. They're critical, because once you miss it, it's not there anymore. So take advantage of it. And Jesus took advantage of every teaching moment he could with his disciples. And this was one. And it was just this story of watching this widow go to the charity box and put money in. That was it. That was the story. And so he calls his disciples. That's what Jesus saw. He watched that happen. Certain poor widow, she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. So he observed that. So I want to encourage us to think of this. I don't think the widow knew that Jesus was watching her. But he was. I'm not sure that we always think or know that Jesus is watching us. But he is. He is. I can be really intimidating, but it can also be really reassuring to know that he's there. Because we know he's got mercy and we know he's got forgiveness. But he's observing this widow. He sees what she does, then he says, this is a teaching moment. I got to bring my disciples over. He brings them over. He calls them over. And he says, you see that widow? She cast more in than all of them that cast into the treasury. Because they all gave of their abundance and she gave her all. Now, that's not a message that says we all need to just unload our pockets and throw it in the charity box. That's not what this is saying. This is a heart issue. And he's talking about our hearts. Just as he said, we need to love God with all our heart. And this is another example of this widow loving God with all her heart and all her strength and all her mind and all her soul. For her, she was called to do that. And she followed the call and did it. And was blessed. And was not only blessed, but what she did, we read about today. How awesome is that? An insignificant widow in the temple. And we're still reading about her today. And it still convicts us today. Convicts me today. How much do we love God? How much do you love God? It's an evaluation that I can't do for you and you can't do for me. But it is an evaluation that we really ought to do and let the Spirit then speak to us.
Well, we just had a fantastic morning, a fantastic afternoon, and it's been really good. When you look at the title of the psalm that we just read, it's a psalmist in distress. When we read this morning, we read about Habakkuk, and Habakkuk is in this, he's a question mark, right? God, why? And, you know, why are things so bad and how can we change them? Right? And I think that's the thing that we kind of get from both of these, from the morning, and we get it from the psalmist. Like, we are waiting on the Lord, but what can we do to change it? And that's what we heard this afternoon of Mark, right? We heard exactly what we can do to change it. If you lived back in Habakkuk's time and you were back then and you're seeing everything is just going downhill fast, what could you do to change it? If you were with the psalmist and he's in distress like we heard here and he's waiting on the Lord, what could you do to change it? And it's so beautiful in Mark. I mean, Mark is just so direct. I mean, it just comes right at you. And he just says, look, if you want to change things, go after the Lord with your whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. If you want to change things, love the folks that are around you. If you want to change things, give a little more than what you've been giving. You know, what are you going to give this year? What are you going to give? You know, it keeps coming back. And, you know, this morning we talked about fellowship, and I think it's neat. We had the new believers study, and we were just talking about fellowship this morning. And to me, it was a really good time. I enjoyed it. It's just talking about fellowship's kind of the glue that holds our church together. And just the kids, we came up with this list of all the ways that we fellowship. We have a Easter breakfast. We eat Sunday lunch together. We have small groups. We have team night. We have marriages where we have celebrations. We have goodbyes where we unfortunately say goodbye to someone leaving. We have baptisms. We have Bible study. We have pizza nights. We have outreach twice a year. We have mission trips. We have Sunday school. We have the church camp out. We have the New Believers Bible Study. We have special trips. We have ACYF. We have the lock-in. We have the Ladies Bible Study, potluck, church picnic, chili cook-offs, Keepers Camp out that somebody mentioned. VBS, we have VBS. We do communion. We get together all these times, and it's a time when we can strengthen each other in these two things, to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And it's also a time when we can love everyone else that's around us, and we can build up, we can build this strength, we can build the church together. And I think it was Drew that said this morning in our study that, hey, if we don't have fellowship and we don't have love one amongst each other, we don't have a church. I thought that was a neat conclusion to come to, is that it's here. If we want to change things, we can only change in one person, one situation, one event, one thing at a time. And we have a power over that. We can seek out the Lord. And it's said over and over, He's here. He's here to help us. He's going to answer us. He's going to listen. He's there for us. And so it's exciting. It's exciting to know that He is still in power. The Lord is still sitting up on His throne. And He's looking after us. He's looking after things. And why? I think I'll finish with this. Why? Why do we do all this? And then why? It's because we have an eternal purpose. We have an eternal purpose that is so greater than anything else going on right now. And it's so exciting to think about that, to think about what the Lord has planned for you, to think about the tough situations you're going to be put in for His glory, to think about the great celebrations of the things that we're going to see that He's going to do around us. That's why we do it. And it's so exciting. It's wonderful. And I wish you all a fantastic week this week. Let's sing a song, and I don't have one picked out, so somebody lift one up, will you?
Though the angry surge We'd ask the brother to close the day of prayer.
Dear Holy Father, we just want to thank you for this morning, for this afternoon service, and for opening our eyes and our hearts and our minds, and how you might enter in, and how we might be changed to draw us closer to thee and to Christ. And through the words that were given this morning of, when sadness happens, we cry, and we need to hear. And we need to watch, Father. We need to watch around us what's going on. And we know it's all possible through committing our lives to Thee. So please, Father, be with us, guide us, help us through the tough times. And as Habakkuk said, he cried. He said, "How long may I wait?" But Father, we want to trust in Thee and that you know what's going on. And for those that are hurting and those that are sick and those that so desperately need thee, Father, be with them. Touch their hearts. May they be changed. Be with us. Guide us. Thank the ministering brothers for their unwavering love and service to us, Father. Just honor, praise, and glorify thy name. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.